like this and your generosity, we couldn't do what God has called us to do. Or I would be having to work another job and I can't do anything else but be a pastor and a preacher. And I'm not very good at that, but that's what God's called me to do. And so we're grateful for that. And I'm grateful for your church. And so I'm going to invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and grab it. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 22 through 33. And before I get there, let me kind of just bring you up to speed in case you don't remember what's happened up until this point. So very recently, what Jesus found out was that John the Baptist was murdered. It came and was reported to him that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And then we know that he continues doing ministry by feeding the thousands and thousands with just a few fish and some loaves of bread, demonstrating not only his humanity side, but also demonstrating his God size. Because we know that Jesus was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. It wasn't like a 50-50 kind of a deal. It was 100 and 100, right? And so Jesus now is putting his finishing touches on that miracle, and he's gathered his disciples. And so that's where we're going to pick up in verse 22. So it says, following along with me, Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. When he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was contrary. And Jesus came toward them walking on the sea very, very early in the morning. When the matter of fact, it's between 3 and 6 o'clock, they say. So when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Verse 27 says, immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter answered him, command me to come out to the water. And he said, well, come. And he climbed out of the boat, and Peter started to walk on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, the strength of the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out. He reached out his hand. He caught a hold of him, and he said to him, you have little faith. Why would you doubt? And then they got into the boat. The wind stopped. And then those inside the boat worshiped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we open your word now, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be present in this room, that you would hide me behind your cross, O Lord, and your words are delivered here. God, prepare our hearts now in this moment. Stir our souls towards you today, Father. God, may this message be all about you and transform our lives more into the image of your Son than we've ever been before. May we walk out the doors today and people see Jesus in us. For we pray it in his name, and the church says, amen. And so as we look at this, we see, again, part of Jesus is humanity, his human side. As he becomes overwhelmed, he becomes tired, and he does what every single one of us in this room needs to do from time to time, and that is get alone with our Heavenly Father and begin to pray. Because, church, we must become prayer warriors. In our individual lives, we need to make sure that first thing in the morning, we're greeting our Heavenly Father, thanking him for that night that we had before, looking forward to the day that is ahead of us, and spending that time with our Heavenly Father. We need to become prayer warriors. Individually, within our families, we need to be praying with our spouses, with our children. We need to be praying as a church, that we're gathering together as a church and praying that we can reach our community with the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's the only hope our world has. And as we look around and we see what's going on all around us, I think the trumpet's going to sound soon. I think Jesus is coming back very soon, and the best way that we can get ready is to get as many people in the lifeboat, so to speak, as we possibly can. So let's start praying together. And then church is coming together. One of the things that we do at the San Antonio Baptist Association office is we have something called Pastor Strong. And pastors come together, allow ourselves to be vulnerable, allow ourselves to be transparent, and get in a room with other pastors and other men of God, because we're not in competition. Are you tracking with me? We're not in competition. We're in this together. We're not about our castle, we are about our kingdom. And so we gather together and we pray for one another. We pray for our wives, we pray for our family, we pray for our ministries. We pray that we're able to proclaim the gospel every single Sunday. And so we have to become prayer warriors. Do you know that in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, is the only place you find in the entire scripture where the disciples asked Jesus to teach them something? Have you ever thought about how amazing that is? That of all the things they could have asked Jesus to teach them, the one thing they asked him to teach him? How to pray. How to pray. Not how to preach. I mean, Jesus was the greatest preacher ever. The Sermon on the Mount talked about, even from a secular world, how incredible that sermon is. Greatest preacher. They don't say, Lord, will you teach us to preach? They don't go to him and they go watch him feed the thousands and raise the dead and all these things and say, Lord, teach us to miracle. No, they go to him and they say, Lord, will you teach us to pray? Because if Jesus needs to get alone with his heavenly Father when he is tired and weary, don't you think we should? We have to become prayer warriors. Years ago, when I was in seminary, one of the books we had to read in a class that I took on prayer was a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. It was written by a Chicago pastor. He's made some mistakes over the last few years, but Bill Hybels wrote a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. And in this book, the theme of it is, I've become so overwhelmed and so tired, I now have to dedicate more time to prayer. See, most people will cut out prayer sometimes. Most people are too busy. We're running from one thing to another. We have this sense of urgency when it comes to being at our kids' ball games or being at work and being career-minded and being involved in our community. All those things are okay things, but the sense of urgency that you and I need to be living with is that the world is coming to an end and we need to be in prayer together. We've got to become those prayer warriors. And that same seminary class, it was one of the first ones that they took. They don't offer this class anymore. I wish they still did. It was called Spiritual Life of the Minister. And what it was an accountability to make sure that we were in the Word, that we were in prayer, and that we were serving in our church. Now, you wouldn't think that future pastors and preachers would have to be held accountable to those basic things, but seminary is daunting, working another job, working in a church, all of those things, you become so busy that sometimes your prayer life, your study life, it may suffer a little bit. And so we would come together in prayer, and they gave us this like acrostic for prayer, and it was ACTS, A-T-C-S. And in that prayer, and I think this actually came from Campus Crusade, where they got this from, because I spent some time doing that discipleship ministry early on, 20-something years ago. But in that, and I still use this today, and when I disciple men, this is where we start. So I tell them the A stands for adoration. It's adoring God for who he is. What we just did a while ago, and we sang this song about his holiness, his perfection, because there's none like him. Right, that's what holiness means. It means set apart. It means different. Matter of fact, Isaiah 6 teaches us that the angels will fly around God all the time proclaiming, holy, holy, holy. Now, they could proclaim loving, 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 and it would be true. Merciful, 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 true. Graceful, 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 true. But he doesn't take requests. What he wants proclaimed around his throne is holy, holy, holy. And so he is worthy. I'm going to talk about that at the end. But in that prayer time, we're adoring God simply for who he is. We used to, the first church that we pastored was out in the country, little bitty town. 190 people. And the electricity would go off all the time in this town. And in the middle of the night, I would go outside. And if you've ever lived in a really small town where it's not the city and you go outside, the stars. Oh my gosh. And to sit on the back of my truck or to sit on my motorcycle and look up and think about how God just spoke that into existence. Becomes a little easier to adore him for who he is. Not for what he can do for me, but just simply for who he is. So adoration, the C stands for confession. It means coming before God and agreeing with him that I've fallen short, that I've made mistakes. It's confessing. Remember, 1 John 1:9 says that if I confess my sins, then he's faithful and just to cleanse me of any and all sins. So I must confess before the Lord. The T stands for thanksgiving, having those times where I'm thanking God, thanking him for my salvation, thanking him for the air that I breathe, for the health of my family, for having a house over my head. Thanking him as we live in Military City and we're honoring veterans and those that pay the ultimate sacrifice so that we could worship here today. And thanking God for those that are serving today, those that are in harm's way, so that you and I can worship here today. We want to thank God for some of those things. And those of you that have served or family members, thank you so much. But this is thanking God and asking him and just praising him for just the things that he gives us, the gifts. And then the S stands for the supplications, which is just a fancy word for request. That's when we're asking God for the health of our family and our neighbors to come to know Christ and all the things, just laying those things out before the Lord. And then I think you should add an M to the end of that. It doesn't make sense because it's acts. There's no word for that. But I think there needs to be a part of meditation too. In other words, being quiet before the Lord. Have you ever, like, said, I'm going to be quiet for the Lord for a couple minutes? This is a discipline that takes time. Like, develop, like, when you first start working out. I remember the first time I was like, I'm going to be so still before the Lord. And I'm just going to, you know, wait for him to speak to my heart through his word and through his Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting there, and I open my eyes. I go, man, I bet that was like 15 minutes. And I look, and it was like 37 seconds. Because we're so, I mean, think about how the pace of life is. We just go from one thing to another. And the sense of urgency that we should be living with, running to where we know the Lord is going to meet us in prayer. And that's what Jesus does here at the beginning of this. He goes off by himself to pray. Do you have a place at your house that's your place where you go, Lord, I want to meet with you there? And just having that expectation to know God's waiting there. I have these times in my ministry, and it's not as often as it should be. I'm gonna just be very transparent. I should do this a lot more. But there's times when I go to bed and I say, Lord, when you want to hang out with me, you wake me up. And I'll look at the time that it is on my clock. And there was a time where it was several days in a row, and it was like 3:42 a.m. or something. So what I did is I went and got on my face before the Lord, and after like the third night of 3:42 a.m., I realized he was trying to speak to me. So I opened up every book of the Bible that had a chapter 3, verse 42, and I read it. And then I wrote down the things, and I realized God was speaking to me through his word, and he met me there. That the creator of the universe wants to hang out with me. I watch people all the time stand in line to get our, you know, autographs of famous people or whatever. We have the creator of the universe that loves us so much. Not only did he send his son to die on the cross for our sins, but he wants to hang out with us. So church, we've got to become prayer warriors. And I would encourage you to pray together, especially as you're looking for a pastor. You want to be praying together and saying, God, we want you to bring us not only somebody who proclaims the word, not only somebody that's going to come see me when I'm sick, not only somebody that's going to do those, but sees our community around us through the eyes of our Savior Jesus Christ and says, we got to reach these people. So prayer, being prayer warriors. Number two that we see in here, it's time for some of us in this room to step out in faith. I truly believe with the crowd that we have here today that there is some, maybe it was during the VBS songs, where you're thinking, man, I wish I could serve in VBS. I just don't have that gift. Guess what? God doesn't call the gifted. He gifts the ones that he calls. So just depend on him and show up. I had a lady at my very first church. She goes, I really want to help in VBS, but I'm not crazy about kids. I don't really want to. And so she ended up doing our kitchen stuff, you know, making the snacks and stuff. Super creative. And she was even better than the Lifeway people. Oh, this is going to go out on the, don't tell them I said that, all right? But she was better than them with the snacks. It was incredible. And she just found her place to serve. She stepped out in faith. Peter here kind of gets a bad rep because all we think about is that he messed up. But he's the only one that stepped out of the boat. And picture with me, they're on a boat, and I had an opportunity a couple years ago. I was in Israel on the Sea of Galilee and on a boat very similar to that. I don't know if you've ever been there. If you get an opportunity to go, I mean, now's not probably a good time, but when you get an opportunity to go, it's incredible. It almost makes the Bible like a pop-up book. And so I got a chance to be there, but I got the picture sitting on this boat of Peter throwing his legs over the side of the boat and taking those first steps as he comes toward Jesus. And we know what happens. He gets distracted because he sees the size of the storm rather than the size of the Savior. We've probably heard that preached a lot of times, but he got out. He still got out of the boat. Some of us need to get out of the boat. We might make mistakes. We might take our eyes off of Jesus for a moment, but guess who's standing above the raging sea with his hands out ready to rescue us and put us back in the right place is our Savior. It's all about him. Some of us need to find our place to serve. It's time for you to sign up to help out in kids' church. It's time for you to help out with the student ministry. It's time to go on that mission trip. And some of you are thinking, well, my time has already kind of went by. The very first church I pastored, I had a guy in my church. His name was Wes Stampley. Wes was an executive vice president over all the accounting at Coca-Cola. That was his gig for years. And him and his wife, Lucy, and she taught nursing at Baylor University, and they had no children of themselves, and Lucy got dementia really, really bad, and they went into the veterans home in Bonham, Texas. I don't know if you know where that's at, but that was near where I pastored. And so Wes and Lucy went into the nursing home, and Lucy went to be with Jesus, and Wes was still there. And Wes was sharp mentally, but physically, he was having a really, really difficult time. And every time I would go see him, he was a little more sad than the time before. And so one day when I got there, he just looked like he was ready to give up. And I said, Wes, what's going on? And he said, why won't the Lord just call me home? I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I miss my wife. There's nothing for me here. And so I said, well, let's just pray about that, man. I'm really sorry. And it broke my heart. Wes had served I can't remember if it was Navy or Army, but he had served in the military, served in our church faithfully for so many years. And I said, let's just start to pray about it. And in my prayer was, God, would you find a purpose for Wes? And we said, amen. So I went back to see him a couple weeks later. He wasn't in his room. And I got worried. And I said, asked the attendant nurse, I said, where's Wes? And she said, he's in the room where they eat, in cafeteria or whatever. So I went down there, and there's 10 men around a table, and Wes is teaching a Bible study. And so I sat down. He's a phenomenal teacher. He taught Bible in our class, in our church. And when they left, I said, man, what happened? He said, well, after we prayed together, I stopped feeling sorry for myself, and I opened up God's Word, and I started reading it. And a guy was wheeling by in a wheelchair, and he said, hey, can you make sense of that book? And he said, well, some. So the guy came in and he led him to Christ through the Word. And then the guy told his roommate, and pretty soon his room was not big enough for all the people that wanted to come and hear a Bible study. About a year later, Wes died and the Bible study continued. He passed it off to somebody else. Wes, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, threw his feet over the side of the boat and he took a couple steps and he went toward Jesus. And he told me he made a couple mistakes here and there, but guess what? God used him in ways that changed the eternity of where some of those men were going to live. Because they didn't have a pastor coming to see them because they didn't go to church. They didn't have family coming to see them because they didn't have a family. And Wes was that. So God can use you and I to do some amazing things. And I think some of us in this room, God's been stirring in your heart, and you're ready to throw something at me right now because you're like, okay, stop it, I'll do it. But you get with Brother Terry or Brother Frank or some of the leadership in this church, especially now when you're seeking and looking for who's going to shepherd, be the under-shepherd, there's some things that need to be done. See, Jesus was told about his cousin John the Baptist dying, and he still did ministry because ministry still has to go forward. And so we got to step up into that. So it's time for some of us to step out in faith. The number three thing that we need to remember in this is that Jesus is still saving people. I think sometimes we get comfortable in church and we get comfortable with our circle, and it's hard for us to step out into bringing others into, and we forget, or we become so religious or so Christian, we forget what it was like to be lost. And so one of the prayers, when we go back to talking about prayer, one of the prayers that we pray regularly at our church plant is this: Lord, would you let me see people through your eyes? Will you let me love them with your heart? Will you let me walk out here and minister with your hands and feet? Because sometimes when we look at the world and all the politics and all the things, and I watch all these political arguments going on that's separating people and dividing, but they don't have to become political, because pro-life, pro-marriage, those were all biblical issues long before they were political issues, and those biblical issues have already been established. So my goal is to preach the word of God and tell the truth, and let people realize that there is a God who loves them so much, he sent his son to die on the cross for them. And here's what happens with Peter. He gives us a great example. He takes a few steps, he sees the storm, and he begins to drown. Who does he reach out to? Jesus. His brothers are on a boat. Other fishermen. He grew up on the sea. See, Peter knew that he got himself in such a pickle that the only one that could rescue him was Jesus. And some of you in this room, you've tried everything. You've tried everything to fill the void inside of you. You've tried everything to feel good about yourself. Let me tell you, coming from somebody who was an alcoholic and an addict before I came to know the Lord, I tried everything, and then I met the one who changed everything about me. See, I was living in North Dallas. I was ignoring God, and I was doing my thing. And I was the most miserable human being. I put on outside smileys, but when I laid down at night, in my heart, I was so broken and so lost and so lonely. Until one morning I got up after a night where I didn't remember where I'd been or what I had done. The only thing I knew is I had receipts in my pocket from places I didn't even remember being. It was in April of 1999. And I went to the bathroom and I looked at myself in the mirror and I hated what I saw. And I had a Pentecostal grandmother that prayed for my soul when I was little, that would take me to church every now and then. Now, theologically, there were some things, but they loved me. Now, she got to go be with the Lord before I came to know Jesus, so I can't wait to see her face when I get there. Because she prayed desperately for me. And so if you're here and you're struggling and you're broken and you're hurting, and maybe it's not drugs, maybe it's not alcohol, maybe it's a secret sin that you have that's keeping you from God, maybe it's because you think money's going to get you there. I did sales and marketing for an insurance company. I remember going, if I could make this amount of money, then I could buy these things and I could be happy. And then I got there and it wasn't. And then I got there. And then I got there, and each step up to more made me more broken and desperate for the Lord. And so in that North Plano apartment, I got on my face before the Lord, and I didn't even know what words to pray. I just said, God, I just need to be saved. Just like Peter, I was drowning. I was drowning in life, and the Lord stood above, and it says immediately. So he didn't say, well, let's do this. You stop drinking for 2 weeks. You start dressing properly. He didn't give me a list. He took me right where I was, lost and broken and desperate. Now, he didn't keep me there, because he does say repent and sin no more. But he took me right where I was. And so when we see people that walk through the door, or when we see the hurting or the broken, we got to see them as Jesus sees them. And know that he is still in the saving business. Jesus is still saving. And lastly, the last thing I want us to see is this. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy of our worship. The last song we sang about holy, laying our crowns down, What a great song. What a great mindset and heart set that we should have. Because when he gets into the boat and they see another miracle, what does it say? It says they worshiped him. They got on their faces before him and they worshiped him because he is worthy. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And died a horrible death so that you and I could change our eternal destinations. That church family is worthy of our worship. Not just because he saved us, but because he's so holy and perfect and right. And he doesn't just, I hope you go, well, I do worship for 15 minutes every Sunday morning. I don't mean just with song. I mean with a lifestyle of transformation. That's really what worship's about. It means that you and I have a testimony. My life was this way. Then I met Jesus Christ, and now my life is this way. And now not that we don't sin, not that we don't mess up, not that we get hurried or any of those things, but to know that he still stands above the raging sea of whatever's going on around us with his hand out and with a twinkle in his eye. I guarantee you, whenever he looked at Peter, it wasn't harsh. It was, why'd you doubt, man? I'm right here. And when we're dealing with that anxiety and we're dealing with that hurt and we're dealing with that brokenness and the things that have happened, he's still standing there going, don't doubt. Don't doubt me. So before I close, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to just between you and the Lord, because I don't really know hardly anybody here. I want you to think in your own heart, your own soul, right now, just you and the Lord. Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt there has been a time in your life that you've said yes to Jesus? That you have trusted Christ and Christ alone with your eternity? Because Jesus is the only way. There's not many ways. There's not many paths. There's one. Jesus says in John 14:6, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So have you done that? Number two, maybe you've done that. Maybe it was at VBS when you were a kid. My wife got saved at Vacation Bible School. We had way different testimonies. She came to know the Lord, grew up in church. Her mom led her to Christ. She got baptized really early. I mean, I wish that was my story. But maybe you did that, but you haven't lived it in a while. Maybe the people that are close to you, that live around you, that work with you, they'd be shocked you're even here today. Maybe it's time you rededicate your life today. Maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what, it's time I step up and step out. It's time I find my place to serve. I want to help out in Vacation Bible School, at least be a prayer warrior for it. Maybe you just come and you go in a room and you just pray for kids to come to know Christ. That we start praying right now, Lord, we want each one of these children to come to know you at the earliest age possible, and that's where you start with praying for them. And you find your place to serve. Or maybe it's time you took advantage of being in such a beautiful church with beautiful people, and you said, you know what, I want to make this my church home. I'm going to come down the aisle today, and I'm going to say to the men, women, the leadership that's down here, and you say, you know what, I want to make this my church home. I want you to pray with me. And maybe that's the other thing. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe everything I say, you're like, man, it sounds so, but I'm so broken right now. I'm so hurting. Guess what? They'll pray for you down here. I met a couple of the people that are going to be down here, and I guarantee you they will pray with you and have a heart for you. So do me a favor. Let's bow our heads together, closing our eyes. I'm going to ask the team to move this way. Because I'm going to pray, and when I'm done praying, as the music starts, if God is stirring in your soul, because here's the thing too, if God is calling you to stand up for him, and you can't do it here in front of God's people, you're never going to do it out there in front of the world's people. So in just a moment, as the music starts, and maybe you just want to pray at the altar on your own. Maybe you just want to come up here and you just get before the Lord. Maybe that's what God's prompting you to do. But if God is stirring in your soul, don't wait another minute.